Today on Real Radio.
What are you doing? What am I doing that appears to be evil?
Well, Jack, if that guy thinks I'm doing something, that's his own filthy mind. I'm not doing anything. My girlfriend comes over at 7 o'clock in the evening. She happens to leave at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're not doing anything. And if my neighbor, who's a Christian, thinks we're messing around, then he's got a dirty mind. Oh, no. Read your Bible, Romans 14 and 15. If that guy has a thought about you and your girlfriend from 7 to 2 o'clock in the morning, you have caused him to stumble and you're guilty, according to the Bible. Are you causing someone to think a bad thought?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the middle part of chapter 15, where certain issues arose that had to be hammered out. Remember, our Lord is the author of honesty, ethics, equity, and order, and He honors the resolution of church issues when we approach them with the consultation of His Word and prayer. In fact, many believe that that's one of the reasons this New Testament account has been included in the canon of Scripture. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing this presentation called Good Church Business.
It says in verse 27, "We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by the word of mouth." This is wisdom. This is good church business. They didn't just send Paul and Barnabas up there to report. They sent guys also from the Jerusalem church. And here's the deal. Verse 28, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit." For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. "And to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." So in your Bible, circle necessary things. This is New Testament Christianity here, people. What are these necessary things? Listen carefully. Write this down. There are going to be two commandments and there are going to be two concessions. Two commandments and two concessions. Very important. Here they are. And they're necessary things. Verse 29. "That you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will live right," or you'll do well, or you'll do the right thing. And here we go. Listen to this. Regarding conduct. It says in verse 29 that you abstain from things offered to idols. The word means, and this is what was going on, people, the Gentile believers up in Antioch, they were having a great time, and they would go to the marketplace, and they would say, "Well, I want to be a good steward of God's money now that I'm a Christian here in Antioch, and so I'm going to get this really good deal." And they could go to the meat market with their money, and they could say, "You know what, I'm going to take this. I'll take 5 pounds of that, and I'll take 2 pounds of this and 3 pounds of the other." And they would wrap it up and give it to them. Well, do you know what was going on? Those good deals, the best cuts of the meat, but nobody would buy them, was offered to pagan idols. So the Gentile believers who are now Christians come up and they said, "Hey man, look at that, 5 pounds of roast beef for $1.50. I'll take it, wrap it. I'll take that." Okay. And what happened was the Jews who are now Christians were getting offended at that because these things had been offered to idol gods. So he's saying, don't get connected. Don't do these things. Now, can we buy meat offered to an idol? We can. But will it stumble someone? That's what we need to watch out for. And so I want everybody to be very serious and listen carefully, because this really applies to all of our lives today, no matter where you're at. Very important to abstain from things offered to idols, from blood. Literally in the Greek, it's from eating or drinking blood. The Gentiles in Antioch and Corinth and most Gentile cities drank blood like milk. That is just sickening to me, but they did that back then. There are cultures today who still do that. The Bible says don't do that. Why is an important question. Listen, two commands. These are two requirements, two commands. By the way, we call these direct sins. They can be called direct sins or revealed in the commandments of God. Listen, first of all, and I'm not going to quote them in order, so listen carefully. First one is abstain from sexual activity outside of marriage, sexual immorality. What was going on in those cities is that they were having temple sex. Not only temple sex, there were also people, listen carefully, it was a practice of the Gentile world, even with Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, to practice dating. Dating was a practice back then that they said, hey, I'll try you. I'll try you this week. I'll try you next week. I'll try you the next. In fact, I kind of like you. I'll try you for 6 months. And they did everything that was involved in marriage, but there was no commitment. That's where dating was born in the pagan cultures of the world. That's why the scripture declares for us not to be unequally yoked. That's why the scripture condemns sex outside of marriage, because all the pagan people of the world practiced dating. The Christian and the Jew was not to do that. God has a plan. So he's saying, listen, abstain from, cracks me up. He doesn't say here, use a condom. He says, abstain. It is possible, you know, to abstain. It is possible. We have become so tainted by our culture. I heard someone say in a school board gathering, what do we expect our kids to do? Wait. That person said some other things that I can't repeat in front of you. The Bible says to abstain from sexual immorality. The definition of the word is this. Jot it down. Make no mistake about it. Abstain from sexual immorality. It means fornication, having sex outside of marriage. By the way, it is not just intercourse. It is any kind of sexual activity with someone who's not married, between people who are not married. Well, what if we don't touch each other? Sexual immorality. What if we just look at each other? Sexual immorality. God says, stay away from it. Absolutely stay away from it. Adultery is the next definition that is in the same word. This word, sexual immorality, covers fornication. Adultery, that is the same thing as defined in fornication, but with one or both of the parties being married. If you're involved in that, get out of it now. The Bible says you cannot take this to your bosom and think that you're going to be okay. You're going to be burned by it. And you'll destroy yourself. Get out of it now. And the other meaning is in the word homosexuality, having sex of any type with someone of the same gender. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Christians are not fornicators. You cannot be a Christian fornicator. We have Christian bankers. We have Christian lawyers. He can't be a Christian fornicator. Nor idolaters. You can't be a Christian and worship false gods. You cannot be a Christian, the word says there, nor adulterers, and be having sex with someone else's partner, someone else's spouse. And it says there, nor homosexuals. You cannot be a homosexual and be a Christian. Can't do it. And it's not a genetic sin. I mean, a genetic case. That is absolutely false. It is a choice. By the way, all these sins listed in 1 Corinthians 6 are a choice. Says you cannot be a Christian sodomite. Says you cannot be a Christian thief. Says you cannot be a Christian who covets. You cannot be a Christian who's a drunkard. You cannot be a Christian who's a reviler. You cannot be a Christian who is into extortion. I had somebody recently try to extort the church. We were dealing with them on a certain thing. Actually, we still are. What happened was this guy wanted to extort you. Well, it's a church after all. You guys must have the money. Just fork over $10,000. And I picked up the phone and I said, I'll tell you what right now. And I had a couple words with this guy. I'm not with him personally, with a representative with him. And The bottom line was, I said, this whole thing's off because we will not be extorted. God's people will not suffer extortion, neither shall God be extorted. There are people even calling themselves Christians. They got a little logo on their business card, and they'll rob you blind. That's not Christian. Paul says, going on to 1 Corinthians 6, I have told you before that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're involved in that, get out of it. Just get out of it. The second thing is to abstain from things polluted by idols, tainted by the worship of idols. And this is where we get back now to this meat or to these idols. And by the way, it's to abstain from appearances of evil. You're not supposed to be even given an appearance of evil. Very serious stuff. He's asking, James and the group is saying, listen, will you guys agree to this? First of all, don't stumble anybody. Number two, stay away from sexual immorality. That's a given. That's true, New Testament, Old Testament. That's a fact. You can't do that. And all the Gentiles said, yeah, fine, that's okay. All right, fine. Even though that's our culture, we understand that God's calling us, and that's great. But the appearance of evil, and this is where it takes Christian maturity, people. What are you doing? What am I doing that appears to be evil? Well, Jack, if that guy thinks I'm doing something, that's his own filthy mind. I'm not doing anything. My girlfriend comes over at 7 o'clock in the evening. She happens to leave at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're not doing anything. And if my neighbor who's a Christian thinks we're messing around, then he's got a dirty mind. Oh, no. Read your Bible, Romans 14 and 15. If that guy has a thought about you and your girlfriend from 7 to 2 o'clock in the morning, you have caused him to stumble and you're guilty, according to the Bible. Are you causing someone to think a bad thought? It's not that person's thought, it's you giving an opportunity to think it. And I know that hits home to some people. You are to abstain, the scripture says, from all appearances of evil. I got to tell you, I won't go anywhere in a car with another woman unless you guys, all of you, are in the car. I won't even drive down the street with my sister in the car alone, because you don't know that's my sister. Somebody asked me a while back, I know that you going up to the Bible college, can you take my daughter? She's got to go up there for class. And I said, I'm not taking your daughter up there unless we have people go with us. Why? Because you could drive by on the freeway and go, who's that girl in Jack's car, and where are they going? Looks like they're heading up to the mountains, man. That's my responsibility, to make sure you don't even get tempted to think that thought. You understand what I'm saying? It takes Christian maturity. And you're certainly much more mature than these guys in the scripture here. I would hope. You've got the New Testament in your lap. They didn't have anything. Concerning idols. Now listen, Paul the Apostle says, I know that an idol is absolutely nothing. It's nothing in the world. There's no God but God alone. It's funny, because what was going on was, and Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapters 8 through 10, he says, listen, if you guys get invited to a non-believer's house in a Gentile city, and they've got this big meal prepared for you, eat it. Don't ask any questions. You know why? People were going in. That's why he wrote that to the Corinthian church. They were walking in you name it. Your unbelieving neighbor says, hey, John, come on over and have barbecue with us tomorrow. Oh, great. And you say, hey, honey, maybe we can share the Lord with them. And gosh, that's great. Go have a meal with your non-believing friend. Eat with them. But when you sit down, don't go, great looking burger. Man, was this offered to an idol? Don't ask. Paul says, just shut up and eat it. Don't ask. What you don't know won't hurt you, is what Paul's saying. Don't ask. Eat it, he says in Corinthians. Give thanks to God. Thank him for the steak. And eat it, and don't ask any questions. He says, now, if while you're taking that bite, or if you're sitting down to the meal, and that Gentile goes, oh, I understand you're a Christian. By the way, this is offered to an idol. He says, don't eat it. Because you may stumble the conscience of that non-believer, thinking that you are now a compromiser. Is that wisdom? It's simple Holy Spirit wisdom. And you want more on that, read Romans 14 and Romans 15. But here we come to a very important thing, and I've got to hurry up very quickly. Listen to this carefully. We're talking about being a bondservant here of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. All these Christians in the story are bondservants. Let me tell you what it means. The word in the Greek is doulos. It means to be a slave, either voluntarily or involuntarily. Paul says, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ, meaning it's out of love. Listen carefully, and I'll go through it very quickly. If you are a bondservant, that means at the end of your sixth year as a Jew, the seventh year you go free, according to the word of God. So you come and you say, well, you know what, Mr. Slave Owner, Mr. Master, my freedom has come. And I'm choosing now to yield myself completely to your command for the rest of my life. I don't want to go free. You are a good master. I like working for you. I submit now to you as a doulos. And if the master accepted your offer, he would say, well, great, let's step out to the front porch. And you would step out of the porch and he would put your ear on the pillar, your earlobe. And he would take a nail and he would take a hammer. And he would make a pronouncement and he would ram that, what's called an awl. He would run it through your ear and it was there forever. And everyone knew who saw you that you were branded, sealed as a bondservant out of choice. You were a servant of choice, and it was a very prominent position, by the way, to be a servant of choice, because you willfully laid down all of your rights, all of your choices, all of your decisions to follow your master. Paul says, I'm a doulos of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian this morning, you are supposed to take your ear to the doorpost and say to Jesus, I am your doulos. And Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, takes that hammer and seals you with the Holy Spirit. And you're marked forever. And your conduct is to be representative of that decision. Have you accepted Christ? If you have, then you ought to walk like it. Stop promoting your own thing. Because you know what? A doulos, a bondservant, has no rights. He lives for the rights of his master. A bondservant has no will. He's yielded his desires to his master. By the way, a bondservant owned no possessions. All that he had was yielded to his master. That's why in the offerings, it is your opportunity to worship him back. Those of you who are Christians, those of you who are not Christians should not give a dime. It's not your place. Why do we do these things? That we might win people to Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, I've become all things to all men that I might win some of them to Jesus. Paul says, man, when I'm around a bunch of legalistic guys, and listen, draw the line here, understand. When I'm around a bunch of legalistic guys, I'll walk just like a legalistic guy. When I'm around a bunch of liberal guys, I'm not going to bring my Old Testament and set it down in front of them. I'm going to walk with them in a way that is comfortable to them. It doesn't mean he's going to compromise and sin. It means that he's very wise and he's discerning about what he ought to do so some might be saved. And that's what we need to do. And so this whole wonderful church business meeting is wrapped up. And the result of it is fantastic. It says in verse 30, so when they sent them off and came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, the Gentile church read the letter, what happened? They rejoiced over its encouragement. You ought to be encouraged today. You're free in Christ Jesus, and you've been given the power to walk in a way that is worthy to him. Verse 32, now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted the brethren with lengthy words in the Greek. So you think I've gone over time this morning. Lengthy words, amen. I have this underlined in my Bible. Long sermons. They were exhorted and they were encouraged and strengthened. Verse 35, Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch teaching and preaching. That means that there are still many of those people to be saved that were in that city, and those who were being taught by the word of God. And we'll end with this thought. The results of the first church business meeting recorded in history led to these results. It gave opportunity for the Lord to work. We saw that in verse 22. It prevented a church split that was coming out of verse 1. A great church business meeting fostered unity among all the brethren. It provided a witness to the lost people. We saw that in verse 21. There are surrounding cities and synagogues who were going to be watching. A great decision in the church business meeting brought about encouragement and joy, verse 31. It also strengthened the body, verses 32 to 34. The Holy Spirit was pleased, verse 28. It gave birth also, verse 35, to more direction and more vision of God. And I want to leave you with this thought. A great church business meeting, number one, forms, first of all, before the church ever shows up. You know what, when we have board meetings as a church, or we'll have a meeting this afternoon with all of you who serve, the meeting is first of all formed in the hearts of all of you before you ever show up. What kind of heart are you bringing into a meeting? Secondly, prayer is made in a great church meeting. The Bible is sought. It is the standard about how you conduct yourself in that meeting. And then finally, we always do good if we remember this fourth point. In a great church gathering, like even right now, how does the business at hand glorify Jesus Christ? Is everything that we've decided glorifying to Jesus Christ? When the board gets together, or the women's ministry, or the ushers get together, is the decision that they've come to glorifying to Jesus? Or is it glorifying to a group of people? Or is it glorifying to a club or to the church? It's got to be glorifying to Jesus Christ, or it's no decision at all. It is an atrocity. Very important.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, concluding a presentation called Good Church Business. It's a look at the part of the book of Acts, chapter 15, where certain church growth issues had to be dealt with. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue through Acts chapter 15 with a study called When Christians Disagree. Remember to visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Now that we're approaching the end of the year, that means the Prophecy Conference hosted here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is next month. We're sure you'll be fascinated with the number and caliber of speakers at the conference. Seats are beginning to fill up quickly for this ticketed event, so visit SoCalProphecyConference.com. Well, this is that time of year where a lot of people talk about the true meaning of Christmas. Sadly, they're usually wrong. The real meaning of the holiday, of course, is that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, imagine a Christmas without Jesus. That's the title of our teacher's CD series we're offering this time of year. Its purpose is to keep our eyes focused on our Lord and to keep Christ in Christmas. Imagine a Christmas without Jesus. The CD series by Jack Hibbs is yours when you send in a contribution to Real Radio of any amount, and that contribution is tax deductible. Just ask for it by title, Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus. You can start by visiting realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, where you'll be able to learn more about the series and order your own copy, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can do it the traditional way. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.